Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Bhagavan api Govinda upayeme kurudvaha Vaidarvim bhishmakasutam shiomatram svayam vare pramatya tarasaragya shalvadim chayaja pakshagan pashyatam sarvalokanam atarksha putra sudamiva. You repeat. Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, api, indeed, Govindaha, Krishna, upayeme, married, kuru udvaha, O hero among the Kurus, Parikshit, Vaidarbhim, Rukmini, Bhishmakasutam, the daughter of King Bhishmaka, Shriyaha, of the goddess of fortune, Matram, the plenary portion, Swayamvare, by her own choice, Pramatya, subduing, Tarasa, by force, Ragyaha, kings, Shalva Adin, Ashalva and others, Jaija of Shishupala, Pakshagan, the supporters, Pashyatam, as they looked on, Sarva, all, Lokanam, the people, Tarkshaputraha, the son of Tarksha Garuda, Sudam, the nectar of heaven, Eva, as, translation, O hero among the Kurus, the Supreme Lord himself, Govinda, married Bhishmaka's daughter, Vaidarbhi, who was a direct expansion of the goddess of fortune. The Lord did this by her desire, and in the process he beat down Shalva and other kings who took Shishupala's side. Indeed, as everyone watched, Sri Krishna took Rukmini, just as Garuda boldly stole nectar from the demigods. So purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, actually it's by Srila Prabhupada's servants, Srila Jiva Goswami gives the following profound comments on these two verses. The words Shio Matram indicate that beautiful Rukmini is a direct expansion of the eternal goddess of fortune. Therefore, she is worthy to be the bride of the personality of Godhead, as stated in the Brahma Sangita, in the 5th chapter, text 56. Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha. In the spiritual world, all the female lovers are goddesses of fortune, and the main lover is the Supreme Personality. Thus, Srila Jiva Goswami explains, Srimati Rukmini Devi is the plenary portion of Srimati Radharani. The Kartika Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana states, Kaishore Gopakanyas Tayovane Rajakanyakaha. In childhood, Sri Krishna enjoyed with the daughters of coward men, and in his adolescence, he enjoyed with the daughters of kings. Similarly, in the Skanda Purana, we find this statement, Rukmini Dwaravatyam Tu Radha Vrindavane Vane. Rukmini is in Dwaraka, what Radha is in the forest of Vrindavan. The term Swayam Vare here means by one's own choice. Although the word often refers to a formal Vedic ceremony in which an aristocratic girl may select her own husband, here it indicates the informal and indeed unprecedented events surrounding Krishna's marriage to Rukmini. In fact, Sri Krishna and Srimati Rukmini chose each other because of their eternal transcendental love. So Om Ganat Milandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Medikam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So we're going to tell some stories about Rukmini, but first we're going to discuss her what we call ontological position. That means who she is. And of course, there's some indication in the purport which we just read that she's an expansion of Radharani. And also she's a goddess of fortune, one of the goddesses of fortune. So let's be a little bit more specific. So Om Gana Timidandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yenitasmai Shigurve Namaha. So let's be more specific. And more specific is that let's talk about the Vrindavan pastimes. In Vrindavan, you have two gopis right now. Of course, there's many gopis. There's thousands. There's, of course, 108 principal gopis, 8 real principal gopis, and, of course, Srimati Radharani is the most principal gopi, and her main assistants are Lalita and Vishakha. But you actually have millions of gopis in Vrindavan who are associated with Krishna. There's different groups of gopis. There's the Munichara gopis, those gopis who previously were the sages in Dandakaranya forest who fell in love with Lord Ramchandra, but Lord Ramchandra said, I only have one wife. So they had to wait until Krishna appeared. So there's many different groups of gopis. If you go to Braj and do the Braj Mandal Parikrama, you hear about some of these groups. Anyway, so two of the gopis we wish to discuss today are Srimati Radharani and her so-called competitor, Chandravali. I think you've heard of these names before. Chandravali lives in a place called Sakhi Stali. You ever heard of this place before? Sakhi Stali. Sakhi Stali is right near the city, right in the middle, basically, the city of Govardhan, which is in the middle of Govardhan Hill. And there's some very interesting stories about how the Goswamis, they didn't even want to hear the name Sakhi Stali, because they are in Radharani's party. There's that story about Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. One time, a devotee brought him some milk, and that milk was from Sakhi Stali. And instead of accepting that milk gladly, he started chasing that devotee with a stick, because he got so angry that something came from Sakhi Stali. Anyway. So you have these two personalities, and it appears like they're competitors. But actually, Chandravali, she is expanding from Radharani to help develop the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Because without competition or opposition, where's the taste in different relationships? You understand? Just like you have Abhimanyu, who is Radharani's so-called husband. Actually, he never even touched her or even saw her. And you have Jatila, who is Radharani's so-called mother-in-law, and Gutila, sister-in-law. And it really spices up the relationship, having the opposition there to Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Anyway, so all these devotees, they're serving Srimati Radharani. So there is a vast difference in mentality between Srimati Radharani and Chandravali. And the vast difference is that Srimati Radharani is what we call Bam. She's a left-handed gopi. And Chandravali, she's a right-handed gopi. What that means is that left-handed gopis, they are unsubmissive. And sometimes they manifest their man. That means anger. Just like Srimati Radharani, sometimes she gets so angry with Krishna that she has her friends forbid Krishna from seeing her. And she even stations her friends Lalita and Vishakha with sticks outside the bower to keep Krishna away. And then Krishna has to sneak in doing so many different devices. He has to sometimes dress as a woman to get in there. Sometimes he has to dress as a sannyasi. Some of these stories are told by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So this is Radharani's man, or anger. Where, on the other hand, you have Chandravali. She's right-handed gopi, and she's very submissive. And so this is also brought out in the Dwarka pastimes with Rukmini and Satyabhama. And this understanding is very elaborately described in Srila Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava. It's a play. His two primary plays are Lalita Madhava and Vidugdha Madhava. Vidugdha Madhava deals with the pastimes of Krishna and Radha in Vrindavan, and Lalita Madhava deals primarily, although there is some Vrindavan information, but primarily with the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, or with Krishna, Radharani and Krishna, but in terms of their expansions in Dwarka. I'll tell a little bit about that because it illustrates some of the ontological position. So, in the Lalita Madhava, Krishna leaves Vrindavan, and when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, Lalita, and Vishakha, they actually leave their bodies. Srimati Radharani and Vishakha, they enter into the Jamuna River, and they're taken up to the sun planet. Lalita Devi leaves her body. I mean, not actually leaving the body because they have transcendental bodies, but it's like a pastime. Lalita Devi leaves this world by jumping from Govardhan Hill, committing suicide, because they're feeling so much separation. Like we hear in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayers, Jugayitam Nimishena Chakshusha Prabhashayitam Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvam. What is it? Govinda Vidahiname. I'm feeling a moment is like a yuga. Not only 12 years or more, it's actually like a yuga cycle. So you can imagine the intensity of that mood of separation is described elaborately by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Lalita Madhava. So anyway, so after, and of course Chandravali, she's taken by King Bhishmaka. She's returned to King Bhishmaka. She doesn't actually, let's say, commit suicide or do something like that. So Chandravali is actually Rukmini. Just like we see, Rukmini is a very submissive wife to Krishna. And Radharani becomes Satyabhama. Because we mentioned before that Radharani enters into the sun planet, and then the sun god, he gives his daughter to Satyajit to have as his daughter, and Satyajit gives his daughter, who was previously given by the sun god, to Krishna as his wife. And that's Satyabhama, right? That's why she's called Satyabhama. Bhama, as I mentioned before, means left, left-handed. Is everyone following the logic so far? Try not
so far, but you said Chandravali.
Chandravali was taken by King Bhishmaka because it was understood she was actually King Bhishmaka's daughter, so she was sent back to King Bhishmaka.
And she was sent to Vrindavan?
No.
Originally?
Originally she was sent to Vrindavan. There's a whole story about Putana's kidnapping girls.
Oh.
Yeah, that's another story that we don't have time for. That's in the Vidugdha Madhava. But anyway, she's returned to King Bhishmaka, let's say. And so then in the Lalita Madhava, hope I'm not getting ahead of myself a little bit. But anyway, so Krishna first marries Rukmini. And we're going to tell the story about that marriage and the kidnapping in a second, which is mentioned in the purport. And then when he gets married to Rukmini, he promises her that he will never marry anyone else without her permission. So then along comes Satyabhama and also Jambavati, and Krishna doesn't have her permission, doesn't have Rukmini's permission. So basically, even in Dwarka, he has to sneak around and meet with Satyabhama. Are you following that so far?
Mm-hmm.
And he meets with Satyabhama in this place called New Vrindavan. Not the New Vrindavan that you all know about in West Virginia, but there's another Vrindavan that was constructed by Vishwakarma right on the banks of the ocean that's right near Dwarka. That's also described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. there's a little description given there of that Nava Vrindavan. So Krishna's meeting with her, and first of all, Krishna doesn't even know she's there. He's feeling separation from Srimati Radharani, who he doesn't know has appeared as Satyabhama. So what happens is that one time Satyabhama is in this new Vrindavan forest, and in this new Vrindavan forest, there is a deity of Krishna. And she decorates this deity of Krishna, feeling separation from Krishna. She doesn't know that the Dwarkadish is actually her Krishna Vrajendra Nandana. She doesn't know that either. She's thinking, you know, keep this guy away from me. I just want Krishna. You understand? So it's a very interesting story. So she sees a deity of Krishna in the New Vrindavan forest, and she begins to decorate with some flowers and jewels on the deity. And then she hears Dwarkadish coming. And she doesn't know it's Krishna, the same as Krishna. And so what happens is that she runs and hides in the bushes. And then Krishna sees this deity of himself that's decorated very nicely, and he's thinking, who is this girl who's decorating my deity so nicely? He says, I'm going to find out who is decorating my deity nicely. He takes the deity, puts the deity in the bushes, and then assumes the same posture as the deity. And he, you know, just like holding the flute, and puts on the same jewels and everything like that. Then Satyabhama, who is Srimati Radharani, comes out of the forest. And she sees the deity and she says, boy, this deity is really realistic. Vishwakarma has done a great job. And she continues to decorate the deity, and the deity begins to speak, and she speaks. So Krishna is thinking she's a deity of Radharani. And Krishna is thinking, boy, Vishwakarma has done a great job. He's made a Radharani deity quite nice, even one that speaks. And Radharani is thinking the Vishwakarma has done a good job. He's made a Krishna deity that speaks.
Why does he think that Satyabhama is a deity?
Because he doesn't... he's thinking this is New Vrindavan. And Radharani is not actually there, but there's actually statues and deities of other residents of Vrindavan there. That's in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita describes
that.
So he's thinking that that's just another statue that's moving.
But didn't he said before that he thought he wanted to find out who was decorating the deity?
Yeah, he wanted to find out who was decorating the deity. And then somehow or other, he thinks that that's a statue decorating the deity. You know, two statues or two deities decorating each other. So finally, they realize, you know, they've seen each other, finally. You know, Krishna is again together with Radharani. But Rukmini is suspicious of the whole thing, and she doesn't like it. And she's attempting to stop them from associating with each other. And Krishna is lying in order to associate with Satyabhama. He tells Rukmini, for example, I'm going to visit the demigods, when in fact he's going to New Vrindavan. And there's many interesting stories in the Lita Madhava. For example, there's one story about how Satyabhama and Krishna are within a cave, and on the walls of this cave are all the pictures of their Vrindavan pastimes. And they're sitting there with each other and looking at it, just like one looks at a photographic album about their past, you know, their marriage or whatever it is like that. And they're looking at the pastimes, and Krishna's teasing her as he's looking at the pictures. There's the picture of when Krishna stole the gopis' clothes. And then there's actually part of that picture is the picture of Radharani with her hands up on her head approaching Krishna without the clothes on. And Krishna points out the picture and he says, who is that girl there? I don't recognize her. But actually he's teasing Radharani or Satyabhama. Anyway, so it gets into some detail like that. Finally, they see a picture that Radharani doesn't like, and that's the picture of Krishna being taken out of Vrindavan by Akrura. So ultimately, Rukmini discovers they've been meeting with each other. Radharani, or Satyabhama is the same, gets so worried that she'll never be able to associate with Krishna again, she jumps into the Kaliya Lake, which is filled with snakes in this new Vrindavan, to commit suicide. Krishna jumps in after her, rescues her. And then Rukmini finally recognizes that Satyabhama is Radharani, and as two friends, they actually embrace each other, and she allows Krishna to marry Satyabhama. Interesting story.
So this is all going on before he actually marries her.
Yeah, exactly.
She doesn't have a palace or anything yet.
No, he doesn't have a palace at that point. He's not allowed to marry Satyabhama or Jambavati, who are two of the first queens. Mm-hmm. I mean, after Rukmini. They don't have palaces. No, so he has to sneak around with them. Just like he did in Vrindavan, sneaking around and meeting with Radharani. Now in Dwarka, he's doing a similar thing with Satyabhama.
So Satyabhama is still at her father's house or something?
No, she's in New Vrindavan because her father has given her to Krishna. So she's not at her father's house anymore.
What about Jambavati?
Jambavati Krishna keeps hidden somewhere else, it's mentioned. I think he keeps her in a cave or something hidden. So it's an interesting story. It illustrates the different relationships between the different personalities. And of course, Satyabhama also has this anger thing. She gets angry at Krishna, or she even gets envious of Srimati Rukmini. We told this story. We were talking about this yesterday, how Rukmini had a Parijata flower that was given to her. And Satyabhama gets very upset and thinks, I got to have one too. And ultimately, she gets a whole tree. Mm-hmm. And Krishna has to fight the demigods, Indra and the other demigods, in order to get Satyabhama her Parijata tree. So this is just to point out who Satyabhama is and who Rukmini is. So Rukmini is actually Chandravali, who is an expansion of Radharani. So they're both expansions of Radharani, but they're in the different moods. Like Rukmini is in the mood of Chandravali, and Satyabhama is in the mood of Srimati Radharani, although they're both expansions of Srimati Radharani.
It's Chandravali?
Chandravali.
Chandravali.
Yeah. Yeah, Chandravali is the right pronunciation. So, and that's pointed out in another pastime we find in Krishna book, where Krishna is attempting to make Rukmini angry. You all know that pastime?
Mm-hmm.
He's with Rukmini, and she's a grandmother at that particular time, but of course, Krishna and Rukmini, they look like adolescents, you know, like 16 years of age. It's described that even when Krishna was fighting or helping Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna looked like a 16-year-old boy. He never aged more than 16. Same thing with Rukmini. I mean, she always looked... That's because that's the age of enjoyment. After 16, it's all downhill. Right? It's all downhill. I mean, 16... You know, what do they say? Sweet 16 or something like that. Everybody looks fresh and beautiful. But then after that, the wrinkles come, the hair falls out. You know, so many interesting things happen to these material bodies after that. And some people, it happens previous, even before that. But Krishna always, Nava Yovanam Cha, as we hear in the Brahma Samhita, he's always youthful. New youth, it's described. Not just Yovanam, but new youth. Fresh youth, actually. Very fresh. Just like you have a baby, your baby's a little fresh, and people... Sometimes they smell the baby's heads, right? Mm-hmm. You ever seen people do that? Mm-hmm. And it's a nice, fresh smell. But I haven't had anyone do that to my head in 60 years. Isn't it? Because it's not fresh anymore. It's, getting wrinkled. Like it's like a plum. A plum is a very beautiful fruit, and then what does a plum become? A what?
Prune.
A prune. It was like I was preaching to some young children the other day, and I took a prune off. They gave me a prune for breakfast. And I said, this is what you'll become when you get older. He said, now, and I pulled out a plum. This is what you are now, and this is what you will be. And then I took little nuts, and I put them on the prune as eyes and a mouth. And I said, this is what you're going
to
look like. Yeah. I said, this is what you're going to look like. So... Anyway, so Krishna and Rukmini, they always look young. So Krishna was seeing if he could make Rukmini angry. And he said to Rukmini, he said, you really married the wrong guy here. You know, I'm paraphrasing it. You could have married that Shishupal. I mean, nobody really knows my caste. In other words, You know, Krishna was apparently in a Kshatriya family, but he was raised as a Vaishya, so, you know, it's a little uncertain. Like, Krishna may have mixed caste. And I had so many bad qualities, I ran away from the battle with Jarasandha. That's why Krishna's called Ranchorji. And then, therefore you should find another husband. Can you imagine? And so Rukmini, instead of getting angry with Krishna, what did she do? She fainted. And in order to catch her, what did Krishna have to do?
You told me yesterday.
I told you yesterday. Don't let anyone else know. See if anyone else figures it out.
What is the question?
What did Krishna do to catch Rukmini when she fainted? See if you're a Krishna book scholar.
Someone says she fell like a banana tree cut down by the...
That's right, but how did he catch her? His arms, but how? Nobody knows. There are four arms, you got it.
Yes, but does it actually mention that in the Krishna book?
In the Bhagavatam it mentions that, yeah. He manifested two extra arms. So he manifested two extra arms. And then she proceeded to explain, without getting angry, to explain to Krishna how what he said was actually his glorification. Like they said, you know, Krishna doesn't have any caste. Of course, he's the Supreme Personality of God. He's transcendental. He doesn't have any caste. So she took his words and actually used them as glorification of him. So she's like that. Whereas Satyabhama is not like that. Okay. So that's a little bit about Rukmini's position. So let's tell the story of the Swayamvara. As commented on, I'm always saying Prabhupada commented, but it was... The purport is by Prabhupada's servants. So as commented on in the purport that we just read, Swayamvara literally means someone who chooses Swayamvara. She chooses her own. It's not that the poor girl has to accept anybody who wins her in a competition. You know, that's the common misunderstanding, that she's just like the jackpot or something like that. You know, jackpot is, you know, like you have these gambling casinos or something like that, and you pull the one-armed bandit, you know what a one-armed bandit is? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you hit the jackpot and you get your money. So it's not that someone just wins the princess and he gets her. She has to agree. Mm-hmm. Just like with the story of Draupadi, with the lifting of the bow, she would not let Karna do that. She said, no, he's Shudputra. He's a son of a Shudra. And Krishna actually motioned to her, don't let him do it. So she actually had a choice. So it's not that someone was forced to marry. This is a misconception they even have nowadays in India. The parents sometimes force the girl to marry someone she doesn't want to marry. Or even force the boy to marry someone. I'm dealing with one particular case in another country where this boy was forced to marry someone he didn't want. And then, you know, really didn't want at all. And so, after the wedding, you know, he was sitting there like a miserable person. He turns to her and says, you know, that's it. You know, we're not going to be married. The same day. And then it's created all sorts of a social disruption because in the Indian culture, you're not supposed to get divorced. But they never had a relationship. It was just like something the parents forced upon the poor guy. And so then you have a division in the amongst the devotees. You know, half of them are supporting him and half of them are supporting the girl, you know, this poor girl. You know, she was taken to the altar. And because it was a forced situation. So in the case of Rukmini, we see that she actually chose her husband. So what happened is, once upon a time, Rukmini, she was she had four brothers, yeah, and the oldest brother was Rukmi. And Rukmi, the oldest brother, he wanted Rukmini to marry his good old buddy, Shishupal. And even King Bhishmaka, her father, wanted her to marry Krishna, because obviously he was the most qualified person. And she wanted to marry Krishna because the sages had come to visit them in the palace, and she had fallen in love with Krishna. This is a real love story, for those who like love stories. And Krishna had fallen in love with her. Krishna had heard about her And it's described in the Bhagavatam, he couldn't sleep at night thinking of her. It's pretty cool, isn't it? When you hear about Krishna's love stories, guess what? You lose interest in your own love stories. What does Rupa Goswami say? If at all desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love, don't go to see Govinda playing the flute on the bank of the Keshi Ghat. Because you'll lose your desire to hear. To watch Bollywood movies or what are they called? Soap operas. Soap operas? That's what they used to have, As the World Turns. I remember my mother used to watch that when I was young. Yeah, some stupid soap opera. So what happened is that it was her idea that she be kidnapped. That's a real Swayamvara. There's different types of marriages the Kshatriyas have. One type is this, what's called the Gandharva marriage, which means by agreement. Like Shantanu, when he saw Ganga Devi, they just exchanged garlands. There was no fire sacrifice or anything. They just agreed. And his agreement was that I will not disagree with you. And I will not oppose anything you do. Therefore, she was allowed to kill all of their children up to the time that Bhishma was born. So that's one type. There's Gandharva. And then there's the regular Vivaha Yajna, which is like what we have in ISKCON. And then there's what we call the Rakshasa style of marriage. Rakshasa style is where there's a kidnapping. You just go up to the girl and say, okay, let's go. And she's not kidnapped against her will. That's not the point. You don't drag her off by the hair like Ravana did. But you kidnap her because the family's opposed to it. You just go and say, let's go. And she says, let's go. And they climb down the ladder in the middle of the night, whatever. And they escape, and the parents wake up to find the daughter gone. So that's called Rakshasa style. And that's a bona fide Kshatriya style of marriage. For example, Subhadra got married in that style to Arjuna. Arjuna made believe that he was a sannyasi. He came to their house, started making eyes at Subhadra right in front of Balaram, even though Balaram didn't know what was going on. And he kidnapped Subhadra, and Balaram wanted to kill him as a result. But Krishna interfered with that. And so they brought Subhadra and Arjuna back with honor after that point. So a similar thing was suggested by Rukmini. It was her plan. It's not that Krishna came up with the plan. She came up with the plan. So she wrote a letter to Krishna. It was carried by a Brahmin messenger. And it was 3 days before the actual marriage ceremony. And she said to Krishna in the letter, what is meant for the lion should not be taken by the jackal. In other words, Krishna was a lion, the king of the forest, lion king. And then Shishupal was a jackal. So she wrote this letter. The letter was carried from Kundina all the way to Dwarka. And Krishna read the letter, and he actually said, I've been thinking of her all along, so tell her I'm coming. And she suggested, the time to get me, don't be worried, you shouldn't try to kidnap me from within the palace, but right before the marriage ceremony, I will go to the temple of Durga. And Durga is sometimes called Girija. Girija means the daughter of the mountain. Did you know that? Because Durga comes from the Himalaya. Actually, this is that whole story that, what was it? That Sati committed not suicide. She entered into the fire because her husband, Lord Shiva, was offended. Then she appeared as the daughter of the Himalayas. So she's called Girija.
How do you say that?
Girija. Like Krishna's Giridhari. Or Giriraj, it says Girija. That means, Ja means to be born. You understand? Like Jayante or Janmana, Jayanta, Shudra, Samskara, Bhavet, Dvijam. That everybody in Kali Yuga is a Shudra. So Jayante or Ja. Ja is short for Jayante, to be born. So Girija means she was born from Giri. Giri means mountain. Like you have one devotee you call Giri here. That means mountain boy. Of course, it's short for Giri Raj, obviously. So she, anyway, that's how she was referred to in the Bhagavatam as Girija. So what happened is that Krishna took that hint, and the day before the marriage, she was getting completely in anxiety. She said, the Brahmin has not returned. You know, what's going to happen? And she felt, at that point, some quivering on the left-hand side of her body. And for ladies, when they have the quivering of the eye and the left and the arm and the left-hand side, that's an auspicious sign. For men, it's the opposite. The right side. Like if the left side starts quivering and your eyes start quivering or something, you better watch out. Just lock the door and stay inside for a few days. In the Ramayana, it's described that whenever any of Ravana's sons or soldiers went out to fight Ram, the left side of their body was always quivering. And they were so demoniac, they ignored that sign. So that means something inauspicious is going to happen. So the day before she was supposed to get married to Shishupal, she felt the left side quivering, and then the Brahmin showed up. And the Brahmin assured Rukmini that Krishna is coming. So the next day she went with all of her associates and mothers and guards to the temple of Girija, Durga, and began to worship. And she prayed to the goddess Durga, you know, please have Krishna come. And of course that's very similar to the gopis' prayers to Katyayani. You've heard of that? There's a time of the year called Katyayani Vrat, where the young girls, they perform this vrat, or vow, or austerities to the goddess Katyayani, and for a good husband. You ever heard of that before?
Mm-hmm.
The Krishna book. And also, yeah, that's the story about that. And also when the young girls at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time were doing that in the bank of the Ganges, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would steal all the ingredients. And, you know, he would actually say, you know, he would actually tell them to give them all the ingredients to him as he was, anyway, as he was Krishna. And they would get angry with him, and then sometimes he would curse them to marry an old man with four co-wives. That story's there in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He said, unless you give me all these ingredients, you know, I'm Lord Shiva, then you're going to marry old men with four co-wives. And that's like a real curse. The ladies started to get an anxiety about that. You know, to marry an old booger with four co-wives is not such a nice thing. So, let's talk about the Katyayani Vrat. That's interesting, too. So, in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu by Kavi Karnapur, that Katyayani Vrat is mentioned in more detail. What happens during the Katyayani Vrat, daily the gopis would only eat, like, khichdi, unspiced khichdi, without any salt or anything in it, and once a day. And they would bathe in the Yamuna River, even though it was very cold at that time of the year. That was their austerity. And on the last day, to signify the completion of the vow, they went bathing in the Yamuna River naked. And that's the day that Krishna stole their clothes. So in other words, after that whole month, I think it's about 2 weeks, of austerities, Krishna fulfilled their desire by becoming their husband. Because when Krishna stole their clothes and they came out of the river naked, that in fact signified that Krishna was becoming their husband. When Krishna was seeing them like that. Of course, Krishna was very tricky. That pastime is elaborately described in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu by Kavi Karnapur, which is a very wonderful book about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Anyway, so Rukmini, she was worshipping the goddess Durga, to have Krishna, and then she stepped out. She was so beautiful, it's described in Krishna book, that when the other kings, the kings saw her, they were waiting for her outside of the temple of Durga. Does anyone remember what they did? Anyone remember?
They rode their horses and their elephants.
Yeah, they fell off their horses and elephants. They fainted to see her beauty. They were just stunned. She was so beautiful. And then Krishna took advantage of the situation, put her on his chariot, and he started to ride away with her. At the same time, Balaram had come because he understood that there were going to be some problems, and because all the other kings had come with their armies. And so Balaram thought, you know, I have to protect Krishna. So Balaram fought off all these other armies and described that millions of heads were cut off. You know, you hear these descriptions, it's pretty heavy, isn't it? When there's fighting, millions of heads, like rivers of blood. And so Balaram made short work of the other armies. And Shishupal was a little disappointed. I'm pretty disappointed he didn't get married to Rukmini. But it's described in the Bhagavatam that Jarasandha, he preached to Shishupal. He said, you know, this is just the action of fate. You know, you have to tolerate these things sometimes. Fate is not on our side. He said, just like I fought with Krishna 17 times, but the 18th time I won. You remember that?
People preached to him
each time. Yeah. So it's interesting how sometimes the demons, they actually preach to each other some philosophy that's bona fide. Even you have in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu preaching to his relatives after Hiranyaksha was killed, isn't it? About Krishna conscious philosophy. He's even mentioning God in an indirect way. He doesn't mention the personal name of God, but he mentions Ishvara to his relatives just to pacify them. So Jarasandha, he's saying, you know, what can you do? You know, I fought with Krishna 18 times and I only won once. So, you know, this is life. You know, this is fate. Fate is on Krishna's side right now, but in the future, you know, you'll be able to defeat him. Don't worry. You know, cool it. So, in this way, there was this whole discussion, and Shishupal became a little satisfied, but Rukmini, who was the brother of Rukmini, who arranged this whole thing, was not happy about the whole affair. He felt completely insulted because he had arranged the marriage with his friend Shishupal. And so he said, I'm going to attack Krishna single-handedly, because the rest of the armies were defeated at that time. And if I do not win and teach this coward boy a lesson, because he wanted to denigrate Krishna, if I do not teach this coward boy a lesson, I'm not coming back to Kundina, which is my city. And so he went to fight with Krishna. He challenged him and said, Krishna, fight like a man. And he fired some arrows at Krishna, and then Krishna turned around and just like broke his bow. And then he picked up another bow, fired some arrows. Krishna did the same thing. Then he started to pick up all these different weapons, and Krishna one by one smashed the axe or the sword and everything else with his bow and arrows. And he even smashed his shield. And then finally Krishna just captured him and was getting ready to kill him. And Rukmini, being, you know, loving her brother, which is a natural type of thing, got down and touched Krishna's feet and said to Krishna, please, it's my brother. How can you kill him? How can you kill him? And so Krishna, instead of killing him, did something worse for a kshatriya. Because what does Krishna, Krishna say? Yeah, in the Bhagavad Gita, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. So kshatriya would rather die than be dishonored. So he gave Rukmini a very interesting haircut. You know, he cut off snips of hair. He left him with snips of hair all over the place, you know, just like sticking out little sikas all over the place. Cut his mustache in a few little places. So he looked really weird. Really weird. And then Balaram actually chastised Krishna a little bit. He said, how can you do this? You know, he may be a demon, but he's our brother-in-law. He says, you know, this is the occasion of the marriage, you know. How can you do this? So, anyway, he understood. He was just trying to pacify Rukmini. Mm-hmm. You know, because Rukmini thought, you know, here's my brother being defiled on the day of my marriage. You know, what kind of marriage is this, you know? But actually, you see many times that kshatriyas will fight even on marriage occasions. Later on in the future, you'll see that Rukmini is killed on the occasion of a marriage. Rukmi is killed on the occasion of a marriage too. So, and then Balaram turns around and pacifies Rukmini. He says, you know, you have to be a little detached from your family. You know, if your brother's a demon, you know, what can you do about it? You know, we're not this body. Basically, that's what he preaches. It's there in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto. I think it's the 54th chapter of the 10th canto. So, Rukmini becomes pacified, and they all go back to Dwarka, and Krishna reveals to everybody how he won Rukmini, and everyone's happy. But that's not the end of the story, because it's interesting, even though she's the goddess of fortune and Krishna's wife, she had to suffer in a terrible way later on. So sometimes devotees say, you know, I've become a devotee, why should I suffer? What happened is that Rukmini, being Krishna's first wife, had Krishna's first son. And then guess what happened when the son was 10 days old? Does anyone know? The son was kidnapped by this demon. What's the demon's name? Anyone remember? Starts with an A. What? Sambarasura. Shambara. He kidnapped Rukmini's son on the first day, and then you try to kill him by dropping him in the ocean. And then, that was Prajuna, of course. And then this Prajuna was swallowed by, the little baby was swallowed by a fish. And the fish was later brought into the same demon's home. And the cook opened up the fish and found a little baby in the belly of the fish. And the cook gave the baby to this servant of Shambhara named, does anyone remember the name? Oh, Rati was her original name, but the name that she had right then.
Mayavati.
Yeah, Rati is the wife of Kupa, which she was in her previous appearance. And then she raised the kid, Prajuna, and Prajuna is sometimes considered to be Cupid. Cupid expands from him. And Cupid previously was killed by Lord Shiva, because he tried to disturb Lord Shiva, and therefore Lord Shiva burnt him to ashes. And therefore Cupid is called Ananga. That means he who has no limbs. He was invisible. So anyone who becomes affected by Cupid, you can't see him coming. He has arrows of form, taste, smell, touch, the objects of the senses. So she was raised, she was actually Cupid's wife, and she was raising her husband as a baby. You understand? Her name before was Rati, or the wife of Cupid. So she was raising this little baby who she knew would be her husband, and as he grew up, her affection changed from maternal affection to conjugal affection. And that's quite unusual. So what happened is that he said to her, you know, why are you changing your affection? Previously you were acting like my mother, and now you're acting like my girlfriend. This is just very weird. Mm-hmm. You know, Kali Yuga, these things happen, but not then. That wasn't Kali Yuga. So she explained that I'm actually your wife. And she explained about the previous birth, and then he had a fight with the Shambhara demon. And by her help, he got the help of her. She had this mystic power called Mahavidya. And he was able to defeat Shambhara demon, and they both flew through the air back together to Krishna's palace, Rukmini's palace. And he looked so much like Krishna that even some of the wives of Krishna felt some conjugal attraction to him. But Rukmini felt motherly love when she saw him. She was thinking, who is the mother of this fortunate boy? My boy would be this old if he was here today. And so finally it was revealed that he was Prajuna, and that was Rukmini's first son. So you see, like, the point I'm making is that even you may be Krishna's, like, wife or intimate devotee, it's no guarantee you're not going to have to suffer in this world. Can you imagine how much a mother would suffer having her son kidnapped from her after 10 days? I mean, that's intense suffering. You know, men can't understand this. They just think, oh, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, you can have another son. There's no problem. It's like cars. You can replace one car with another car. You know, you have insurance policy, no problem. So, but for the women, it's very intense. The women's love for the children is more intense than the men's love for their children. And even it's described that Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna is actually deeper than Nanda Maharaj's love for Krishna, which is interesting. So, anyway, so that's an example of how, you know, even if you may be Krishna's intimate associate, there's no guarantee in this world that you won't have to suffer in different ways. But that suffering is part of Krishna's plan, either in this particular case as a pastime, but as far as ourselves, it's part of Krishna's plan to bring us to him, back to his lotus feet. And then, one final story about Rukmini. Finally, we find that Balaram killed Rukmini's brother. And that was the occasion of the gambling match. They were playing chess, and Rukmini was cheating and declaring victory. And finally, Rukmini's friend, the king of Kalinga, was making his teeth at, showing his teeth at Balaram and laughing. So Balaram finally got so angry that he hit Rukmini on the head with the club and smashed the king of Kalinga's teeth out. What?
Don't mess with Balaram.
Of course, he's the original guru. Nayamatma, Talahi, and Anad. So if you get his mercy, you can make great spiritual advancement. But if you get him angry, you lose your teeth, at least. So anyway, so these are some stories about Rukmini, whose appearance day it is today. It's Rukmini Dwadasi. We have until 9:15 to break the Ekadashi fast. I checked the calendar this morning. So, any questions or comments? Yeah.
You were speaking about the Bible yesterday, so I was reading the research, go over the various pages that lead to the Bible,
which is attraction, faith. Oh, you mean Dosh, Radha, Tata, Sadhu, Sangha, that whole thing? Well, I mean, I think you're pretty familiar with that. In the beginning, this is the progressive stages of devotional service. In the beginning, one has initial faith. That means faith in the Vedic literatures and devotees, adoshara. And then because of that, one begins to associate tata sadhu sangota with the devotees, with the sadhus. And then when you associate with the devotees, you begin to do what they do. If you associate with non-devotees, you'll do what they do. If you associate with people who go to the bar, then you start drinking. Like Prabhupada even said, he claimed some of his disciples were monkey disciples because they would look at each other's faces and encourage each other in sense gratitude. But sometimes we see this with devotees even. People who have fallen from the path, they meet together and encourage each other in activities that are not mentionable in class. So if we associate with devotees, sadhu sangha bhajana kriya, we begin to execute bhajana kriya. And as you're executing bhajana kriya, you get rid of the anarthas. Anartha navritti shat, the anarthas, unwanted things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear, all those wonderful things that are harassing us. And then when you get rid of the anarthas, you can finally become nishta or steady in devotional service. After that, you get a real taste. That's ruchi. And after that, you become completely attached to Krishna, and after that, you get bhava. Of course, you're still experiencing some emotions or bhavas, even in the beginning stages of devotional service. That can be called shadow attachment. There's burnt up and dried up shadow attachment. It's still a little bit complicated to get into it right now. But anyway, and that later becomes transcendental if you continue on the path of bhakti yoga. So, or para becomes para or transcendental. So, but then when you come to the stage of bhava, you begin to fully experience these emotions that I mentioned yesterday in class. And then after bhava, there's prema. I mean, that's the progressive march of devotional service. Adoshana dita, etc. Any other questions?
I have a comment.
Yeah.
We went to Guwahati in Assam a couple of times actually with my Guru Maharaj, and He said that Assam is actually the ancient kingdom of Rukmini's father. And we weren't able to go to her birthplace because there's a lot of political upheaval in Assam.
It's dangerous in Assam.
Is it still like that? This
was
sometime ago.
Assam is.
The temple in Guwahati has deities of Rukmini Krishna. And it's so beautiful and so nice, like a little palace there. Have you been there?
No, I've never been to Assam.
And then also we went to a place along the Brahmaputra River, where when Krishna was coming to kidnap Rukmini, he stopped to water his horses, and the horses were running so fast that there's places in the rock where you can see that they say that the hoofprints melted. Yeah. The hoofprints melted into the rock and made these hoofprints, and then it's also a place where Krishna stepped down from the chariot, and it appears to be his
footprint.
And they do puja to the footprint.
That's nice. Because everywhere you go in India, you remember Krishna. Yeah.
So a temple of Rukmini Dwarkadish, that's also Radha Krishna temple then.
You're talking about Los Angeles now.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, it's Radha and Krishna, but we're worshipping Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan.
Mm-hmm.
Radha and Krishna worship directly can only be done when one's at least on the Raghunuga platform in devotional service. So we're worshipping Radha and Krishna through Rukmini Dwarkadish or Lakshmi Narayan. Because we're worshipping with Vaidhi, with rules and regulations. Worshipping Krishna and Radha and Vrindavan is done Raghunuga, not Vaidhi.
Does Raghunuga, would it conform to the different stages of devotional service also, that Raghunuga can only be performed by someone who's steady or someone...
Yeah, nishta. You have to be at least nishta.
At least nishta.
At least nishta, yeah. And nishta means... not only nishta in your sadhana, but nishta throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's described by Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur. Sometimes people think, I'm steady in my sadhana, you know, but the rest of the day they're getting angry or exhibiting other symptoms, non-devotional symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're not nishta, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's two types of nishta, and there's two types of ruchi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One type of ruchi is when you really like a kirtan, if you have a good singer. And another type, a higher type, is you like the kirtan whether the singer can keep a tune or not.
Mm.
Whether it's done expertly or not, you still like it.
Mm.
That's a little bit of a strain for me. If someone's singing out of tune, it's a big strain. But if someone is in a higher stage of ruchi, you know, then... basically, anybody singing, you know, even if they sing completely out of tune, they're in ecstasy. That's a higher stage of ruchi. So there's two stages of ruchi and basically two platforms of nishta. Does that make sense? Everybody understands? So I guess everyone's going to have to break the fast. Well, you still have a while. So about 45 minutes, 40, 45 minutes. I mean, it's taking some grains. So we would thank everybody. We're going today to New Orleans, where we have the Krishna Consciousness Jazz Fest and a lot of preaching. And tomorrow is Nrisimha Chaturdashi, the glorious appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev, Señor Nrisimhadev, those who speak Spanish. There's fasting till dusk. That means when the sun is going down, neither day or night. Not fasting till darkness, but just, you know, dusk means when it's neither day or night. You get that? That's when Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu at that particular point. And when he appeared also, he appeared at dusk. Okay, I guess that's it. All glories to the Prabhupada, Ki Jai.